Hallelujah. Today's sermon, you know, is titled Secured. Somebody say secured. In God's love. Now say to yourself, say, because I'm in Christ, I'm secured in God's love. Open your Bible to Romans 8:28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Today God has something special for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Yes, who would like to read? Romans 8, 28. Okay, I go for Brother Toby first. Romans chapter 8, verse 28.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the journey of life can sometimes be filled with ups and downs. There are times that you've worked out on something and you achieve success. You feel so good. You feel so happy. You feel like breakdancing. Yeah. Hallelujah. There are other times where things don't go your way or where things are not yet going your way. It doesn't mean they won't go your way eventually, but they are not yet going your way. Are you with me? But God is perfect. Did you say God is perfect? Nothing can surprise God. Nothing can overwhelm God. Nothing can dismantle God. Nothing can delegitimize God. He remains God. No matter whether you're on the mountain or in the valley, God remains God. Hallelujah. And he's a good father. Romans 8:28. He said, we know that all things work together. Say, all things work together. Let me explain. It's not those things by themselves. Those things don't have power to work together. A better translation is in Amplified. So let's have Amplified. Romans 8:28, Amplified version. Yes. He's going to give me Amplified. 63. Romans chapter 8, Amplified. Go for it. 8:28. Romans 8:28.
And those who are in the flesh.
Romans 8:28. 28. Look at verse 28.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. And we know with great confidence.
We know with great confidence. That what?
That God who is deeply concerned about us.
Listen to this. That God who is deeply concerned. Hello. Listen to that. I want to explain something to you. You know, in your prayer, you don't need to be praying and praying like, God, where are you? It's an expression of unbelief. Now, you may be in a bad time. You may be in a disappointment. You may be low of low. But God is deeply concerned about you. He's deeply what? Concerned about you. I will explain why he is. Please continue.
Causes all to work together.
Can you see that?
Plan.
It's God that is causing everything to work together for your good. It's not all things just working for your good. It's God. That's why even if you're in a bad situation, God is still at work. Causing that bad situation to turn around, to work together for your good. It's like God is like the master puzzle master. Can I say that way? Hallelujah. You know, it's like you set up a puzzle and you fixed it all, everything in place. Then, while men slept, yeah, the enemy came. Okay, it could be a tiny kid. Scattered your puzzle. Amen? And the puzzle is, you wake up and the puzzle is what? Scattered. But the Bible says that even then, God is working those puzzles back together.
Amen.
Amen. God is what? He's working those puzzles back together. God is the one who will cause all things to work together for your good. Let me give an example. There was a prophet called Jonah. You know Jonah? He was a great prophet. And God told him, go to Nineveh. You know what Jonah did? Nineveh was like maybe towards the east. Jonah took a ship just in case Because Jonah knows God and he knows what God can do, yeah? So his first was, let's move as far away as possible. So that even if God tells me next time, I say, God, you know, I can't go back. Amen? Now remember that Jonah's action was an action of disobedience. Are you with me? Still, God put him in the belly of the whale and gave him free transport back to Nineveh. Even in Jonah's disobedience, God still caused everything to work together for what is good. Hallelujah. Amen. God is working. Say to yourself, God is working.
God is working.
You see, and I'll tell you why, because actually what I just did now is the middle of my message. It wasn't the start. Amen? I want to explain to you why God is working all things, or causing all things to work together for your good. Open to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Why does God cause everything to work together for your good? Or maybe another way to ask is, does God cause everything to work together for the good of every single person? Why does God cause everything to work together for your good? I will tell you why. Soon enough. 1 John chapter 3. Are you there? Let's have another person read. Let's have a youth now. 1 John chapter 3. Let's have a youth read verse 1 and 2. Please listen to verse 1 and 2. 1 John 3 verse 1.
See how very much our Father loves us. For he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him and what he really is.
Amen. He says, see how much our Father loves us. Who is our Father? Who is our Father?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. It's God the Father. He says, see how much our Father loved us, that he causes us to be called. Oh, am I reading it right? I don't want to misread it. Because there's a serious information there. Say, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that is what we are. Say, I'm a child of God. Now, why are you a child of God? Let's revisit that. We need to understand. Not everybody is a child of God. Are you with me? And by the way, nobody in this world is truly fatherless. Hello? Nobody in this world is truly fatherless. There are only two fathers. Because when the Pharisees opposed Jesus, they said, you are of your father, the devil. You are either a child of God or a child of the devil. Now, when we were born, we were all born into spiritual darkness. And the prince of darkness is the devil. Okay, I'm not trying to insult anybody. You understand? We were born into darkness. And the prince of darkness is who? The devil. He sinned from the beginning. Are you with me? But when you come into Christ, something happens to you that makes your life different. And you not forget. John 3:16. Let's go back there. I know you know it. Let's go there and read it. John chapter 3 verse 16. Let's have another youth. Okay? Sharon or Audrey, whoever is ready. John 3:16. I think Brother Tim was already going to quote it for me. Audrey, can you quote it like your dad? John 3:16. Go on, Audrey. John chapter 3, verse 16.
For God so loved the world.
That he gave his one and only son.
That whoever believes in him shall not perish. But have eternal life.
Now, someone asked, help me to explain this. What does it mean for someone to perish? Do you want to try? What does it mean for someone to perish? Okay, let's
die.
Die? No, I don't agree. What does it mean for someone to perish? Coming back to you. For someone to perish, what does it mean? I say that person perished. Okay.
I thought I knew the answer, but I mean, it's all like rotting away, like slowly deteriorating.
Okay. Yeah, deteriorate, rot away, perish. Sean, what does it mean for someone to perish? I'll come to you.
Being condemned to eternal darkness.
Okay, being condemned. What does it mean for someone to perish?
Go to hellfire.
To hellfire. Let me just stop there. That's it. You know, maybe I should pause there and make you understand that death is not the end. You understand? If you've ever had people, friends, or relatives that died, it's not the end. So just say death is not the end. Someone may die, but that doesn't mean they've perished. The greatest disaster is not death. The greatest disaster is to perish in hell. Are you listening to me? The greatest disaster is not for someone to die. The greatest disaster is for someone to perish. Hallelujah. But Bible says, whosoever believes in him shall not perish. Perish means eternal death. Eternal separation from God. Perish means the lake of fire and brimstone. But he said, whoever believes should not what? Perish. So even death cannot overcome the believer. Because Paul said, for me to live is Christ. To die is what? Is gain. So 1 or 2 weeks ago, we heard news that the evangelist, Billy Graham, died. He died at 99. But you know, that's not what matters. It's the life that he lived. It's the souls he brought in to the kingdom. When he comes in before the Father, say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Hallelujah. So you say, I will not perish because I believe that Jesus is the Christ. Hallelujah. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So you say, because I believe in Jesus, right now, I have eternal life. That's what it means to be a child of God. He says, see, how great love Father has loved us. You know the great love? The great love Father loved us is that he sent his only son to die, to be crucified. Yeah? So that whoever believes should not perish. And you know, we need to put our lives into perspective. Hallelujah. Put your life into perspective. Whatever you are, wherever you are in your journey, whatever you are going through, I'm telling you, the most important thing is that you have eternal life. Amen? You have eternal life. If you have eternal life, you have the greatest thing of all. Hallelujah. That you will not perish. That you are a child of God. That you are a child of God is your greatest identity. Amen? You may have all the riches of this world, but it's nothing compared to being a child of God. You may have all the achievements of this world, but it's nothing compared to being what? A child of God. To call God your father. That God is my father is my greatest level of identity. God being my father is my greatest achievement, if I will call it that way, in life. It's greater than everything. Hallelujah. He says it's a great love. I say that's what we really are. See, you say I'm a child of God. And it makes all the difference. Hallelujah. It does. It makes all the difference. You are located in God. Hallelujah. God is your father. And you are his child. It makes all the difference. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What are the implications of being a child of God? If you say I'm a child of God or I'm a son of God, why is that different from being the son of your father or the son of your mother or the daughter of your mother? What are the implications? Say, I'm a child of God. What does that imply to your life right now on this earth? Now, before you tell me that it means you are going to heaven. Okay? I'm asking for the implications of your being a child of God right here, right now.
It means that God's got your back.
Everybody put your hands together for Statia. It means that God is totally committed to you. Whether you believe it or not. I'm a father. I know the type of commitment I have towards my children. Even when they fall short. Amen. There's nobody that ever had a child, for example, who was failing in school and they would just give up on that child. Yeah? They will go on lengths, look for teachers, look for whatever, do whatever they can do. And that's just human commitment. Hallelujah. Yeah? That's just human commitment. Don't talk of God. God has got your back. But you know the problem? The problem is that because you don't see in the physical, you don't believe it. And because you are walking in unbelief, the devil can actually come and harass you more. Amen. It's like, you know, when I'm with my kids, you know, my youngest kid runs to me, you know, if any of his senior brothers are trying to oppress him. He runs to me. Once he runs to me, I say, and then if he keeps running, I say, why are you still running? I mean, you are here. Hello? You are here, I'm with you. Nothing can happen. Oh, it's just me, it's just me. You are here now. Relax, you are here. Hallelujah. The same thing with our lives. God has got your back. Life is shaking you. You are running about as if there's God, no God there. God is still there. If you can just remember that He is there. Hallelujah. He is there. He says He's with you. You need to realize that He's with you. If you don't know that He's with you, it's difficult to walk through the valley of shadow of death. You see, when you're walking through the valley of shadow of death, you will fear evil if you don't know that He is with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one of the ways that you can make sure that you keep walking in the revelation that is with you is that when you're walking through the valley of shadow of valley of shadow of death, you say, the Lord is with me. His rod and His staff, they comfort me right now, even in this valley. Because God being with you is an eternal truth. You know why? Because He's your Father. Hallelujah. If God is my Father, He's got my back. And you know one thing about God? God does not go late to walk. Hello? God does not go late to... He never sleeps. No, what? No slumbers. He is there, right time, every time. You need to just understand that and begin to proclaim it, even in your bad times. God is with you. Yes, another implication of God being your of being a child of God. If you're a child of God, it means that God is your Father and He's got your back. Yes, what's another implication? Yes.
Your brothers and sisters with Christ.
Amen. If God is your Father, it means that Jesus is who? Your brother. I know He's your Lord, but He's also your brother. Can I prove that? Romans 8. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. If God is your Father, Jesus is your brother. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Yes, let's have someone who has not read today. Agnes, are you there? Are you still there? Romans 8, 29. There you go.
For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters.
Amen. See, this is the plan of God. The plan of God is... Actually, I'm jumping my message now. Let me just come in there and just say, if you're a child of God, Jesus is your brother. But later I'll come back to the plan. That will be the climax of this message. The climax of this message for you to understand that God loving you means that God has a plan for your life. Amen? In fact, that leads to another point. If you're a child of God, God has a good plan for you. Amen? If you're not a child of God, then I don't know. But if you're a plan, even when you're not a child of God, God has a good plan for you, because for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whosoever, so even people who are not a child of God, God has a good plan for them because the greatest need of anybody who is not yet born again is to come to know Jesus. No matter what you do for them, yeah? So if maybe they are poor and needy people, okay? Like people that are homeless, and then you get them accommodation, that's good. People that are, you know, they don't have food, you give them food, that's good. People that are in disaster or in floods, you send money to help them, that's good. But all that without the gospel, yeah, is little. Amen. So what we do is we help and we also bring the gospel. Amen. And that's why I say when I want to give to charity, I'm looking for a charity that can help the needy and also bring them the gospel. Amen. Otherwise they will eat and they will still die. Are you with me? So I want to help them and I also want to bring them what? The gospel. Because that's a good plan. The greatest thing you can give an unbeliever is to give them the good news about Jesus. But by the way, don't stop there. Also give them what they need. Amen? God has a good plan for your life. I say, God has a good plan for my life. You see, when you begin to understand, it changes the way you see God. You see, the way you see God really affects the way you will live your life as a believer. Amen. If you see God as somebody who is trying to cheat you, or somebody who is trying to judge you, or somebody who is trying to take away your best gifts, you see, you're going to all your life you'll be trying to dribble God. Hello? If you see God as the one trying to take something away from you, you're going to be dribbling him. You won't trust him. But if you see God as the one who is working everything, something that's gone, but God is working it for your good. Hallelujah. If you see God as the one who has a plan for your life, and that plan of God is better than all your petty plans. Please say something to yourself. With all you mean, say my plans. My personal plans for myself with my limited brain are petty. I didn't say they are bad. Please, you understand what I'm saying? Don't miss me. I didn't say plans are bad. I just said they are what? Petty. Because they are little. Little brain, little plan. Little brain, little what? How big is your brain? Are you with me? But God has a good plan for your life that surpasses, is better, is bigger, is greater than your plan. And sometimes you've achieved your plan and you think that your life is moving in the right direction. Or sometimes your plan didn't go well and you think, oh, your life is in tatters. No! God is the master planner. He has the master plan. And he's working everything together for the good of those who love him. Are you with me? Are you with me? That's why the Bible says that in all these things, we are more than conquerors. You know why? All this will not be possible if God did not love us. God's love towards you is so great, you did not deserve it. He committed himself to you. Imagine. The God of the universe commits himself to you. But the reason why you are not feeling it is because you don't believe it. I know you said you do. Yeah, I told you my example of my son. His brothers are chasing him. He comes to me, but then he's still running from them. I said, I'm here. Don't need to run again. You have arrived at the destination. Leave them now to come and face me. Hallelujah. I said, when you have arrived in God, let whatever wants to face you come and face you in God. Hallelujah. You know, last week we were praying prayer meeting. And we were praying, at the point we were praying, you know, for the greater manifestation of God's power in the church. And that's a good prayer. And then, but many times we pray like this: God, bring your power down. Send your spirit down. But thank God, because we had read Ephesians 1. And it's talked about the exceeding greatness of his power, which is at work in us. And then the Holy Spirit just alerted me and said, that power is not up there now. It's up there. If you are an unbeliever, you don't have access to the power. You don't have any inheritance in the commonwealth of the kingdom if you are not born again. But when you are born again, which means when you have made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, yeah, eternal life comes to live inside you. The Holy Spirit. You know, you pray, say, come down, Holy Spirit. He came down on Pentecost Day. He has not gone back. Are you with me? He said, it's important for you that I go. Because when I go, I will send the Comforter and he will be with you forever. The power is now at work in you. It's a problem of releasing that power. It's a problem of letting the power flow from the inside out. It's a problem of letting that power begin to affect your situation. But that can never happen if you don't know that the power is at work in you. Ephesians 1, let's go there. So that you know that I'm quoting the word of God. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I think we're reading what? Is it verse 19? Yes? Give me that from King James or New King James Version. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19. King James or New King James. Yes. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19. Please read it.
New King James. And what is exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Amen.
The exceeding greatness. Are you listening to that? For us who believe, the power of God is exceedingly great. For those who don't believe, they don't know the power of God. You know, like Sean read earlier on in 1 John 3. He said the world does not know us because they did not know him. So when Jesus came, the world rejected him. So the world does not know about this power. The world will not tell you about the power you have in Christ. Are you with me? You find out about that power through the word of God. You find out about that power in the place of fellowship like this. There is an exceeding great power that God is released towards your life. You just need to let it flow from the inside out. That power is at work in you. Amen. Say, God's power. Let's do it. Say, because of God's love for me. God's power is at work in me daily. It is. Whether you know it or not. If you don't know it, you keep praying, God, send your power. Ah, I'm so weak. It's true, the devil may be attacking. But don't ever miss it that you are weak. It's a lie. You're only as weak as not knowing that you have the power in you. Amen. You know, have you ever, I don't know about schooling nowadays, but when I was growing up, you have some situations where you have somebody who is huge or is it study or what is it? Yeah, like my son. You know my second son? Okay? But then they go to school and, you know, their peers or mates keep bullying them. Yeah? Because they are big, they are evil, but they are gentle. They don't know the power they carry. So they are bullied, they are, you know, teased, they are pushed about. Then someone comes and I say, you know, if you can, all you need to do is fold your hands. The next person that comes to tease you, deliver them one. And then, they're still afraid, but they followed the instruction. And the moment that first ball landed, the person landed it, but they understand that, oh, I'm powerful. Hallelujah. That's exactly the situation for the believer. The power of God is at work in you because you're a child of God. It's just not just the reason. It's because you're a child of God. Amen? Because you're a child of God, you have the Spirit of God. Why do you have the Spirit of God? Because you are a child of God. It's not because you came to church on Sunday. Amen? And that power is at work in you. So what you need to do now is begin to use it. Hallelujah. Never. One of my daily confessions is this. I cannot be defeated. Hallelujah. So everything is coming against me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The Bible never said things will not come against you. The Bible says, in all these things, you are more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Why? Because his exceedingly great power is at work in you. Amen. Let me take you back to the message and explain one or two more things. Jeremiah chapter 29. I was telling you that God has a good plan for your life. I want to talk about God's plan. God's love implies God's plan. You know, many times you say, oh, God loves me so much. And it's good for you to understand that God loves you. Because actually, if God did not love you, we are all going to perish if God did not love us. It's God's love that gives us the opportunity to become children of God. Hallelujah. It's God's law that gives us the chance to have eternal life at all. Hallelujah. It's God's law that gives us an inheritance among the saints. For example, I'm a saint. I don't know about you. You're either saint or sinner. So let's find out who are the sinners. Where's my mic now? I'm a saint. What are you? He's a reader. I'm a saint. What are you? Saint or sinner?
Saint.
Is it because of the option I'm giving? Hallelujah. The reason why I'm a saint is because I'm a child of God. That's my identity. Yeah. When I wake up, my waking thought is not how to sin against God. My waking thought is how to please God. That's who I am. I'm a saint. Saint means somebody. Yeah? Who has become accepted. Yeah? You are accepted into the family of God. That's what makes you a saint. Amen? Before you were accepted into the family of God, you were a sinner. Now, I know you might have been very good. You might have been very nice. You were a good sinner. Yeah? I know you might have been very generous before you came to know Jesus. You were a generous sinner. Yeah? I know you might have been very disciplined before you came to know Jesus. You were what? A disciplined sinner. But when you come into the family of God, your identity changes. You become a child of God. He gives you a new heart. A heart that wants to please God from the inside out. You understand? Not because anybody is watching me. I want to please God. I'm not perfect. I will make mistakes. I will offend people. But I want to please God. Hallelujah. I want, not because anybody is watching me, my heart has changed. Hallelujah. I'm a saint. Say Jesus, I'm a child of God. I want to please God. That's who I am. God. So I'd like to finish this message in 10 minutes. And I will have a part 2 because I'm not scratching the surface of this message. If God loves you, necessarily, it means that God has it. Now, I don't know how that makes you feel, but for me, it means that if God has a plan for my life, because, for example, look at your plan. Anytime you have a plan, you are working at day and night to make sure that your plan succeeds, isn't it? Hello? I don't know if you're getting me. You are a human. You have a little plan. I don't know what you're doing. Cameroon? I thought you were going to travel to Spain. Yeah. If I get to Spain, you would go. You'd rather go to. I'm just pulling you. Hallelujah. We have a little plan. But God has a great plan. Your life. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29:18. Look at it quickly. Jeremiah 29:18. Jeremiah 29:18. Yes, who is there? Jeremiah 29:18. Yes, Cameron? Jeremiah chapter 29:18.
I will pursue them with the sword.
What? No, am I quoting the right one? 29:11. Please forgive me. 29:11. Thank you so much. Thank you, Tatiana. It means that you are here. Yes, go for it.
Well, I know the plans.
Are you listening to me? I want you to understand something. God has plans for you. Hello? Sometimes you feel as if your life is in a shipwreck. I said, God has plans for you. I said, Jonah, he ran away. God delivered him back through the whale. Sometimes the enemy comes and messes up things. But that can never stop the plan of God. You see, the devil crucified Jesus. God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. In fact, God chose that method. He said, you know what? If I can make Jesus save lives and be Lord of all, I will allow him, I will allow the devil to do his worst. So, you know what? When the devil finished doing his worst, you know what Jesus said? Sorry, this is like a joke, okay? When they've battered and bruised him and finished him, you know what Jesus said? It is finished. I know you don't say it that way. You say like, I'm what? I'm finished. Are you with me? Now, of course, it is finished is much deeper than that. But on the human level, it was actually what? Finished. The devil had done his worst. Hallelujah. But even in the midst of the worst of the devil, God is able to do greater. In fact, actually, Ephesians 1:19 describes that power that is working in us. He said, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That means that the power that works in me because I'm a child of God is able to raise me from any dead situation. It has been signed, sealed, and delivered. He said, it is finished, you are finished. But God is able to do. He said, you know what? Don't continue to consider the former things. Because the former things are tied to your own petty plans. Your plans are petty. Even my plans. You know why? They are petty compared to the plan of God for your life. He said, I know the plans that I have. Please continue to read.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord.
Declares who?
The Lord.
Declares who? The Lord. Say to the Lord has plans for my life. Hey! When you realize that, it changes how you face the devil. Hallelujah. He's got your back. God's got your back. You see, when Goliath showed up, Goliath was like 9 foot. Or 10 foot, so you can imagine. And it wasn't just a tall stick, okay? It was huge. It wasn't just tall, it was what? And it was well experienced in battle. Otherwise, they wouldn't make him lead the army. You get the idea? But the Israelite army, they were all concerned about the former things. They were thinking about all what Goliath had done and how he has destroyed and whatever. David could not be bothered. Amen? By the way, David was not 5 years old. He was around 17. He was a young lad. It's like when my son graduates from secondary school. In secondary school, you are still a boy. Are you with me? You are still a boy. But he was inexperienced. You know? It was like, you know, it's like in this country, for example, you cannot drive until you are how old? So that means that, you know, like you can't join the army, sort of, until you are. That's what happened. So he was younger than the age for the army. He wasn't like a boy. But his approach was different. He was not looking at Goliath. He was looking at what God can do and what God has done. He could not be bothered. Whether it was Goliath, it doesn't matter. He said, when I was in the field, I dealt with wolves, I dealt with lions. So the same thing. He just picked up his stones. No sword, no shield, just stones. Hallelujah. But the exceeding greatness of the power at work in him delivered that stone straight into the skull. Okay, I don't want to scare you. Like horror. Please continue. Say, God, I know. God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. What are those plans?
Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and future.
Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Now let's stop there. I'm not stopping the sermon. Now I'll do that in 5 minutes. Let me explain something to you. As I'm reading that, I realized something that statement was a statement that the Lord was giving them to reassure them. It looks to me that sometimes as you're moving in this journey with God and God is fitting you into his master plan, some things will appear in your life that will not look like prosperity. Some things may appear in your life that will not look like good things. That's why it's telling you that I know the plan. You have to trust me now. Hallelujah. There are moments that you are in waiting period. You are like in a wilderness. There are moments that you suffer disappointment. But he said, look, these plans I have, it will ultimately prosper you. It will ultimately give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. God does not measure your life. Yeah? The way we measure our lives. God's plan is bigger than all your achievements. Are you with me? You have a degree. God's plan is bigger than it. In fact, your degree is useless if it does not fit into God's plan. It will fade away. It's one of those things that will fade away if it doesn't fit God's plan. Your goals, your aspirations, if they don't fit within God's master plan, yeah, they were a waste of time. It will not count in eternity. It will fade away. Your disappointments, all those things that, you know, you are going through now and you're like, oh, my world is over. Yeah? They will fade away. God's plan is bigger than what? Your disappointment. Amen? Now, let me show you this and then we'll finish there. We'll continue next week. Romans 8. I want to talk a bit more about this plan for another 4 minutes and then we'll finish. And then we'll continue next week. Romans chapter 8. I'm talking about God's plan for your life. The reason why God works in all things for your good is that he's trying to fit you back into his plan. Hello? Are you with me? God is not trying to rubber stamp all what you want to do in your life. God's goal is to fit you within his plan. So, no matter what happens to you, God is working on you and in you and through you to put you in his plan. Because God's plan is bigger and greater and better than any plan you have for yourself. And God knows that some of the plans you have yourself are the things that will destroy his plan for you. Are you with me? Yeah? Let's assume that God is doing something good in your life. And then the enemy comes in, you know, and has his way. He doesn't stop God's plan. God is infinitely greater than Satan. Infinitely. I don't, there's no comparison. Satan is a created being. God is the creator. Satan came in, messed it up. God will fix it. But you know, God fixes it according to his great plan for your life. Amen? According to his great plan. God's plan is greater. And that means that if I understand God's plan is greater, I want to begin to live my life to fit in to God's plan. My achievements are useless if they don't fit in to God's plan. My disappointments are meaningless. Yeah? In the light of God's plan. Hallelujah. My pain, yeah, is nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in my life if I follow God's plan. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 verse. Did I give you the verse? Okay, that's the last place I'm opening. Romans 8. I'm sure somebody already knows the plan. The verse. Verse 29. Verse 29, but let's read it to verse 31. Now you can, verse 31 must be interpreted in the light of verse 29 and verse 30. Verse 31 has no meaning if you don't understand 29 and 30. So let's read Romans 8, 29 to 31. The last person to read. Who's gonna be? Someone who has not read today. Okay, brought in. Romans 8, 29 to 31. Please listen carefully.
For whom he did foreknow.
See?
He also did predestinate to the conformed to the image of his son.
Hallelujah. God knew you beforehand. God knew you before you came to this world. If God didn't know, you can't even come anyway. Hello? Hi. God had you in mind, otherwise you could never become a being. Nothing exists that exists without him. So the fact that you are living means that God knew you in advance. In fact, he knew your name. He knew you called Fernando. Hallelujah. Go on, please.
That he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
God knew you. And he predestined you to become like Jesus. Continue.
Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called.
Before God called you, he already had the plan. Amen? God has something for you to do with your life. Yeah? That will glorify his name and advance kingdom. I want to understand something about sonship. Sonship means that now you're a part of the kingdom. Amen? The kingdom is your business. And when I say kingdom, I'm not talking about just church. Church is just a part. The kingdom is bigger. Hallelujah. The kingdom is righteousness. Amen? The kingdom is peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The kingdom is salvation and healing and deliverance. Hallelujah. The kingdom is the rescuing. He said the Spirit of the Lord. Let me tell you what the kingdom is. He said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to bind the brokenhearted, to preach liberty to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the kingdom. The kingdom is the transformation of lives. Hallelujah. And when you become a son of God, he calls you to be a partaker of the kingdom. That's the plan. Now, specifically, that could vary from person to person, but the master plan is that you are now a part of the kingdom. And how you function in the kingdom is to function like Jesus. Amen? To function like Jesus. Amen? You know how Jesus functioned? There was a storm. There was a storm. And the disciples were afraid. You know what Jesus did? He was snoring at the bottom of the boat. He was sleeping. There was a storm. The disciples were afraid. He was sleeping soundly. He kept sleeping until the disciples came to shake him. He said, don't you even care about that? Hallelujah. Go on, please.
And whom he called.
We are looking at verse 30 now, yes?
30 now.
Yes.
And whom he called, then he also justified.
Amen. Amen. Continue.
And whom he justified, then he also glorified.
Okay, now verse 31.
31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen. I will explain that and I will stop. Listen. Because God has a great plan for your life, because God is committed to you, and that's because you are a child of God. Amen. He has a plan. He wants to see that plan come to life. Amen. That's why we say it is God who works in us. Amen. God is working in you. Say to yourself, God is working in me and through me to fulfill his plan. Hallelujah. Now, don't miss it. You may not know the master plan of God like maybe God showed you a vision and said, this plan. No, no, no. All you just need is an obedience. Just follow him. He'll be working everything for your good. You had an achievement? Glory to God. He will take it and use it within his plan. Amen? You had a disappointment? Shame to the devil. He will take your disappointment and use it for his glory. Amen? In everything, he will work for your good. Because he has a plan for your life. And that's what he says. He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? I will explain that, we stop. It simply means that anything that is coming against you, because God has got your back, you with me? He will take those things and begin to work there for your good. Oh, somebody set up to pull you down. God will take what they're trying to do, yeah, and use it to promote you. God will not promote you in spite of them. He will use them. Hello, are you with me? He will what? I can prove it to you in the Bible. There was a man in the Bible called Haman. He wanted to destroy the Jews. And his chief enemy was Mordecai. But the day God wanted to promote Mordecai, it was Haman that was sitting beside the king. And the king remembered what Mordecai did that was good and told Haman to go and honor Mordecai. He felt like dying. Hallelujah. God has a plan. Say, God has a plan. Because he loves me, he knows me, and he has a good plan for my life. You see, that solves, you can't be depressed if you understand that. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that you will not face challenges. I'm just saying that you can't, in your lowest low, God has a plan for you. And it's good. And God is the one working in you and through you to bring that plan to pass. But what you need to do is yield, cooperate, believe. Unbelief can destroy the plan of God. Unbelief can destroy the plan of God. Yeah? Not yielding can destroy the plan of God. But even in moments of unbelief, God is still working. Hallelujah. He never sleeps nor slumbers. He's working. You went to a disappointment, God is working. Hallelujah. Somebody stole your song, God is working. He will give you another song. Hello? God is working in everything. No, that's not the best way to say it. God, please give me amplified. No, open. I promise. Don't open. God is causing everything to work. Individually, they may look like bad things. But when God, like you're cooking a pot of stew, or whatever. You know, it happened to me recently. My wife was cooking, and I saw what she was doing. I was like, oh, what is that? Mince meat again? Don't like mince meat. You know, I saw potatoes. I didn't understand what was going on. Until everything went into the oven. Everything went into the oven. And what came out was amazing. Hallelujah. Individually, it may not look good. But God is the master chef. Let's sing and pray. He's a good father. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And because God loves me with an everlasting love, I can walk through life secure. I'm not a victim. I don't want to ever carry about a victim mentality. I am not a victim in life. Because God has got my back. Everything may be against you. But God got your back. You're not a victim. I'm not a loser. He said, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. I am not a vagabond. I'm located in God. Hallelujah. And he's working in me. See, God is working in me. You have to believe it. See, if you don't believe it, it won't work for you. Because without faith, you can't please God. God is working in me. And God is working through me to bring out his great plan. Hallelujah. Let's sing a round up there. Where is Audrey? Audrey is gone. I'll give it. This is not the end of the message, it's the beginning. So next week we continue. Hallelujah. Let's rise up and sing. Sing this song, you know, with conviction in your heart. I want you to know, be secure in God's love. You know, dig deep in that love and secure yourself in his love. Because I tell you, there's nothing more secure. Someone said, what is the greatest gift that God can give you in life? It's his love. And what is the greatest achievement you can achieve with your life? It's God's plan. It's greater than your plan. Hallelujah. Okay. So doing.
Cause you're perfect in all of your ways.